It's okay to praise Him. Amen. It's okay to praise Him all day long. It's okay to lift Him up. It's okay to shout His name. Tell the masses about Him. Amen. That the heathen, the Bible talks about proclaiming Him among the heathen. That we would tell the world, Jesus saves. Amen. Amen and amen. I've asked Brother Marion, you have a mic there, brother? We need the Lord today. And the Lord just kind of led me to get a mic to Him during handshaking time. I asked Brother Grant to do that. I'm going to ask Brother Marion if you would just get a hold of God for a few moments. And just beg His presence here among us today. Please. Thank you. I apologize, Brother Marion. We're working on that. There's a mishap. We'll get it. We'll get it. This is why we need the Lord. Amen. The devil's always in the sound system. I'm sorry, guys. Is it working now? Test it there.
Testing one.
There
two,
it
three.
Is now. We need it now. All right. Now we had that distraction. Let's put them all the rest of the way. Amen. Let's put our cell phones away. Let's put everything else away. We don't need to go to the restroom right now. Let's get a hold of God. Amen. Go ahead, brother, please.
Lord, I have a thought right now that you just now gave me. Sometimes we don't know how to pray, what to pray, but you know our hearts, dear God, and sometimes the Holy Spirit in us and through us and for us, He'll make petition, intercession for with groanings which can't be expressed. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you're seated at the right hand of God making intercession for us as well.
Amen.
Lord, I come to you this morning. Lord, I pray for each person in this sanctuary. We all have needs, dear God. I just want to make a little testimony at this time. Lord, it seemed like in the recent weeks I've been in a season of my life that almost like being out barren all alone on a desert. But Lord, you were still present with me. I thank you, dear Father, that in your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Lord, sometimes we get so busy with living life we don't take time for you. Maybe that was what I was going through, a time of neglect, not being as close to you as I can be. Lord, you said in your word, submit yourself unto God. Draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Lord, sometimes we can be overcome by the cares of this life, that sometimes we have a tendency to just kind of coast down our way of life. Forgive us, dear God, when we sin and come short of your glory. I pray for each person in this sanctuary this morning. We all have needs. You know our hearts. You know what we need, Lord, as Pastor mentioned. Lord, we need to get closer to you. We need revival. I need revival, dear God. Please forgive us of our sins. Help us, Lord, to make confession to you, even silently, not out loud necessarily. Help us, Lord, to draw nigh unto thee. Forgive us where we sin and come short of your joy. I pray that you restore the joy unto some lost soul here this morning who has never known the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. Lord, I don't mean to take too much time, but I can remember I was searching, trying to find something to meet that void in my life. Lord, I thank you that on February the 23rd, 1964, a little church down there in Charleston, West Virginia, your spirit convicted me so great I couldn't hardly stand it. I went forward that morning. I humbled and I cried and repented of my sins. Lord, you forgave me. I was born again Christian. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, or all things are become new. Lord, I went into that building. I was lost as lost can be. And you saved my soul. Lord, I've never gotten over it. These aren't tears of sadness, they're tears of joy. And I thank you, Lord, for saving my soul, a hell-bound sinner. I went in lost, and I come out of that building a born-again child of God. Lord, I pray for each person here this morning who does not know the peace of God that passeth all understanding, that you would work in their heart, convict them of their sin, dear Lord. Help them to just humbly repent of their sins and receive Christ as personal Savior, that they might know the fullness of joy. Thank you for our pastor. Lord, I thank you that he has an exuberant spirit. He gets so lively. I thank you for his spirit, dear Lord. I pray that you'll bless his voice. He'll be able to preach this morning in power and demonstration of your blessed Holy Spirit. Lord, feed us from your word this morning. I'm hungry, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning. I don't take this for granted, Lord. There's some people scattered around this old world. They don't have a building to come to, air conditioning. They don't have the comforts of being inside of a building. They worship out inside of a hut somewhere. Thank you for the missionaries that will give up their homes to go to foreign soil to preach your word that others might hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and know him as their personal Savior. Lord, I pray for revival here this morning. May your Holy Spirit come in. He's welcome. Lord Jesus, I invite you into our midst right now. Be present, dear Father, through the Holy Spirit. Preach through Pastor the words we need to hear. I pray for every Christian. Transform us by your Holy Spirit that we will be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, that others can see Christ, not because we're anybody special, but because Jesus Christ is our all in all. He's the Lord of our lives. Help us, Lord, to live a life that will glorify you this morning. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. I thank you for your presence this morning. I felt it already. And I thank you, dear God, that when we come into your presence, you're always there for us. Sometimes we have a tendency to go astray. We get so busy doing this, that, and other. I thought just the other day, here we get extremely busy with the temporal things of life, but no, we neglect the spiritual aspect, the eternal values of life. We kind of put that on the back burner. Lord, forgive me for doing that. Thank you for restoring the joy of salvation to me this morning. Lord, I thank you for your presence. Help us to leave here different from what we were when we came in. I know some people here right now, they're going through difficult times. Please comfort the sick and the suffering. Help those who are troubled and distressed. Know not which way to turn, what to do. I've been down that road many times, but I found out, dear Father, when I come to you in humility, and whatever need I have had in my life thus far after you saved me, you've never failed me, Lord Jesus. You've always come through. You've always met that need and an overflow with an abundance of more than what I needed. I believe right now there's resources for the Christians waiting up on heaven for God to give us. If we'll just love you and keep your commandments and do what you would have us to do, to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ, first and foremost of all, bless us this morning. I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Marion. I don't know why God leads in certain ways like that. God just told me, have Brother Marion pray for a little bit. You know what I appreciate about Brother Marion? He knows that getting a hold of God is not a rush, rush, rush kind of thing. And he knows how to get a hold of God, and I'm thankful for that. We need the Lord this morning. And here in this chapter, Genesis 32, here's another man that needs God. I back up to last week first, and we saw Jacob's salvation when at Bethel. When Jacob was at Bethel and God showed himself revealed in that dream, and Jacob was given the opportunity, he says, I know Abraham's God. I know Isaac's God. And God said, you need to make me your God. And there at Bethel, he made that decision to trust in Christ. I wonder this morning, I'll say it again. I'm not going to re-preach last week's message, but I say it this morning. Are you saved? Is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, your personal Savior? Amen. Not the person sitting next to you, and not a family member or somebody you know here today, but your personal Lord and Savior. That's a choice you have to make. And I wonder, are you saved? Jacob, we looked at last week, we looked at his salvation there when Jesus, of course, he was the picture that, the Lord was painting with that ladder, Jacob's ladder, that ladder that went unto heaven. And Jesus in himself in John chapter 1 said, I'm that ladder. I'm that ladder. Today we come to the river Jabbok. And here we find that Jacob is alone, yet he's wrestling with a man. I've never heard anybody really expound on that, but he's alone and yet he's wrestling with a man. I believe Jacob needed God. And he was willing to give up his rest and get alone from everything else and say, God, I need you. But was this really God that he was wrestling with? It says a man in the text. Brother Williams read it earlier, verse 24, and Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. But let's look at the context here. Let's look at the rest of the passage and find out what's going on. Look at verse 22, if you would, please. I'm in Genesis 32. Look at verse 22. The Bible says he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. All right, what's a ford? A ford is where a river is shallow enough that we can cross it by wading, not by swimming, not by building a bridge, but by wading across it, right? I believe Stonewall Jackson found Williamsport to be a place that he could cross easily. And during the Civil War, and we understand that. Here, Jacob has found this ford at the Jabbok River. Jabbok is a river east of the Promised Land. It would be between the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea, and the Jabbok would empty into the Jordan River. And we understand he's somewhere close to that Jordan River, crossing the ford at Jabbok. And here's where all of this takes place. Look at verse 23. And he took them, his family here, and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had. He sent over everything. And that's when we get to verse 24, and Jacob was left alone. He said, I got to get alone. I love my family, but I need personally just me. I need to meet with God. I've got to get alone. The Bible says, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Did he come out of the bushes? I don't think so. Did he jump out? Did he scare him or what? I don't think so. Look at the rest of the text. Verse 25, and when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. This man touched the thigh of Jacob. What's the hollow of the thigh? That's where the hip goes into the socket. So in other words, his hip would have been out of the socket, out of joint here. And it says here, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. Now, it's kind of hard to wrestle, I would think. I'm trying to think about wrestling and your hip's out of joint. A little bit hard. But you know what? God was helping me understand that. When I was a kid and I'd go swimming with my brothers, I was the younger one. Of course, my older brothers, you know, they want to beat up on their younger brother and take him and keep dunking him in the water and keep dunking him in the water and splashing him and holding him down and all that. And there was no way I was going to overpower. I mean, I'm talking I was 8 years old, 9 years old. There's no way I'm going to overpower them. Do you know what I did? I'm thinking of Frank especially, okay? You know what I did? I just clung on. I just grabbed him and I held on. I think that's what happened with Jacob here. He's out of his joint, his hip's out of socket. He's out of joint. He was wrestling for a while, but then he just starts clinging. He's just holding on. That's why the man says here, let me go. The day's breaking. I'm ready to go. Let me go. And verse 26 is what I'm quoting. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. He said, I'm just holding on. There's something I'm trying to get to here, like me and my brothers. All right, I'm waiting for them to wear out so they'll leave me be, okay? I'm just holding my breath and hanging on for all I got, right? And that's what's going on with Jacob here. He's saying, I'm not done yet. I need God, and I'm hanging on here. Look at what this says. It says in verse number 27, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now I want you to take note there to verse 27. We're going to come back to it. He says, what is your name? There's a reason why they were wrestling all night long. There's a reason for that. Jacob had done everything in his own strength up to this point. He'd figured out everything, trying to do it all in his own strength, and God was letting him know that his strength wasn't good enough. He wrestled with him all night. He said, finally, he said, I'm not letting you go. I'm looking for something here. And God says, tell me your name. Tell me your name. We're going to come back to that. Look at verse 28, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince thou hast power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, and for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Now we know, we've seen in Scripture, we've seen other times where men have desired to get with the Lord and meet with the Lord, but we've never seen a wrestling match as of yet. Okay, I don't remember anywhere else in the Bible where somebody wrestled through the night trying to get a hold of God. But again, I believe there's a reason for that. I draw your attention to a word today. It's a big word. Some of you might have heard it. It's sanctification. Sanctification, meaning to sanctify, right? Sanctification, the definition of that is to set apart as sacred, to make holy. Can I give you an example here? This piano right here. I'm not quite sure when exactly Shenandoah acquired this piano, but it was set apart for a purpose. It's not borrowed by the local bar or the honky-tonk dance place down the street. It's not meant for the world's music. It's not meant to be used for the devil. It is set apart as sacred for a purpose. Amen. Amen. That's what sanctification is. That's what sanctification is. Now, understanding that, let me give you a little doctrinal truth, a little background here. Positionally, Christians, people that are saved, positionally, we are sanctified by God when we get saved. Positionally. What do you mean by that, Pastor John? I mean, when you got saved, all right? When you got saved, the Bible says that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Ray, is that you over there? Brother Ray, right here? You got saved last week, amen? The Bible says that he gave you the power to become the son of God. Amen. A son of God. Amen. That's not blasphemous, that's Bible. Amen. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Gave him power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. That's positionally, God said, you will be my child. I've adapted you into the family. Yes. This is Bible, and the Bible teaches us these things. Positionally, when you get saved, God sanctifies you. The Lord looks down, God the Father looks upon you, the sinner, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and says, you are righteous in my sight. Not my own filthy, listen, not my own righteousness. God says in Titus, they're like filthy rags. But through the righteousness of Christ, positionally, you are sanctified when you get saved. But understand this, that's God's part. But then there's our part. There's positionally God's part. But then there's practically our part. God calls us unto sanctification in our personal daily lives. That's what's going on right here at this point. Last week was Jacob's salvation. This week is Jacob's sanctification. Amen? If Jacob last week saying, I have decided to follow Jesus. I won't sing too much for you. I apologize. All right? Then this week at Jabbok, he's saying, the world behind me, the cross before me. Amen? He's singing that next verse. It's Jacob's sanctification. It, at Bethel was the place of his salvation. Here at the Jabbok is the place of his sanctification. Bethel took care of his beliefs, but Jabbok took care of his behavior. His behavior. See, after Jacob got saved at Bethel, yes, we saw some change in him. We looked at last week where he made that place the house of God. He said, this is a place I can return to and I can meet with the Lord. But he also started tithing to the Lord. There was some change that we saw when he got saved, the God working in him. But he went from there. And at this point, it's been 20 years since Bethel. We get to chapter 32. It's been 20 years since Bethel. And he's been the same old Jacob. His daily life is not matching what he said back at Bethel. His daily life is not matching that when he said, I'll let the God of Abraham be my God in his daily life. You see what happened. Think of the background for a moment. Jacob, he leaves Bethel and he goes up to his uncle's house. Laban, remember Laban? Laban is literally an older version of what Jacob was in his flesh. When the Bible says, God is not mocked, what you reap, what you sow, you're going to reap, that's exactly what happened to Jacob. That's not just a law for the ground, a law for the soil, but it's a law for the soul. When God says, what you sow, you're going to reap. And Jacob, he leaves, he had tricked his brother, he had lied to his father, he had been greedy, trying to gain some things. He runs up to his uncle's house, and his uncle does the same thing to him. Remember, they made an agreement. I'll work for 7 years because I'm in love with your daughter. And he tricked him and he gave him the other daughter, didn't he? He works another 7 years. Finally, he gets Rachel. And it says he continued to work for Laban. And Laban, the Bible says, changed his wages 10 times. 10 times, the Bible says. Now, when it says he changes his wages, it didn't say, oh, he's a good worker and he got a raise. It's talking about it negatively. And Laban was not, he didn't care that Jacob was his extended family. He cared about his own flesh and what he could gain out of this. He was using him and abusing him. That's what's going on. This is the last 20 years. Now we get to chapter 31 and Jacob says, I've had enough. I'm getting out of here. God told me to go back to where I'm from. I need to get out. I need to get my family. I need to get out of here. And instead of going to Laban and handling it correctly, he does the same old thing that Jacob always does. He comes up with his own wisdom. Man's wisdom will never match God's wisdom. And he runs from his uncle. He makes a very awkward thing. His uncle has to chase after him. His wife, Rachel, stole from her father. I mean, we're talking fleshly actions here. His uncle runs him down. They have a very awkward situation, but they make it right. And all of these things. And then we get to this point. You understand, please, this morning, if God is condemning sin in the sinner's life, it doesn't mean he condones it in the life of the saint. Do we know what condone means, or approving it, or allowing it, or having favor? If God condemns sin in the life of a sinner, he's not going to condone it in the life of a saint. Jacob was saved. He had made God his God, made Jehovah God his God. But he's still living that old worldly life. There'd been no sanctification. Just real quick, I was in my own Bible reading this morning, and I just stumbled across a verse here I want to read to you. It's Titus chapter 3. The Bible says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." You know what Paul told Titus there? He says, "You believe in God, you're saved. Now act like it. Maintain good works. Maintain them. Don't live life and whatever your flesh wants and be chasing the world and chasing sin over here on Saturday night and then come to church and worship the Lord and sing the songs and magnify the Lord's name together and be a fake facade. You're saved. That's why the Bible talks about in Galatians, it talks about walk in the Spirit. You've received the Spirit of God when you got saved. Now walk in it. Act like it. This is Jacob's sanctification here in chapter 32. Now, here's the issue. Jacob, he's got to face his brother. Where's he headed? He's headed back home. And he's got to face Esau. Now, wait a minute. How's the relationship with Jacob and Esau? Well, the last thing Jacob heard was that Esau was ready to kill him. Remember that? He had tricked him. He had lied to his father. He not only got his birthright, but the blessing from the father. He stole everything from Esau and he ran. But he's got to come home. And he says, "I know I'm coming home and Esau's going to know about it. I got to do something about this." And he's got to face his past. You understand that? He's got to face his past. God is in us. Helping us making restoration with people. Sometimes there's relationships that are not right, and we've got to make them right. God wants that. Remember, who was it? Was it Zacchaeus? I might have said this last week. When Zacchaeus got saved, I think it was him, he said, "I got to go pay some things back. I've taken money from people. I've wronged them. And now if I'm going to be what I say I'm going to be, I've got to make some things right." And Jacob understands he's got to meet Esau. But he's scared to death. Scared to death. "Oh, my brother's going to kill me." Not only that, he tries to send him a few gifts. And Esau tells the messengers, "I'm coming to see Jacob. Oh, by the way, I'm bringing 400 men with me." Jacob is scared to death. He's worried. He's shivering. You know, the younger brother. I know my older brother. I mean, he's a hunter. I mean, this guy could take care of business. And here he's coming with 400 men, and I got my wives here, I got my children here. It doesn't say how old his children are. He's worried. Now, he makes preparation physically. He divides his family in two parts, and he has one go over here and another one go over there. He says, if Esau comes and takes over me and he kills off half of my family, I'll still have the other half. That's man's logic. That's man's logic. Well, I'll still have something, and I can escape. I'll get away. Talk about a man. He sends his family on ahead of him, and he's left back there. Well, I'll let him go through, you know, Leah and her kids. I'll let him go through those women servants and their kids. I'll let him go through Rachel, you know, the love of my life that I worked all these years for. But I'll let her go in front of me. Talking about a man here. He comes to the understanding that he can't do this in his own strength. His wisdom will fail. His strength will fail. He says, I need God. Look, you say, did he really say that? Look at the details here. Look at chapter 32. Look at verse 1. The Bible says, "And Jacob went on his way, and the angels of God met him." Okay? So God sent some angels to meet Jacob. It was God's protection, really, what it was, because God had told him to return home, and God was sending some protection. I wonder if those angels of God just made Laban simmer down a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Because Laban was hot when he went after Jacob. He was mad. And I wonder if God was just protecting him. So we see that God's presence is about him. The angels of God are right there. In verse 2, it says, and when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's host. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim, one that's visible and one that's invisible. He knows that God is about him. Look at verse 9, if you would. Look at verse 9. And Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, and Lord, which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. He goes on, he says, deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother and the children. He's praying to God. This is leading up to this wrestling match. He's seen the angels of God. He knows God's presence is about him. He's praying unto God. He's begging for help. But I don't read in here anywhere that he gets an answer. I don't read in here anywhere where he gets an answer. You ever pray over something that's pretty heavy on you? And you're praying and you're praying and you're praying, and it's like your prayers are just bouncing off the ceiling. You ever been there? Because I have. And he's praying and he's asking the Lord for help. He's scared. He's in a moment of concern and worry. Excuse me. And he's praying. And he doesn't get an answer. That's what's leading up to this point. That's what's going on here. That's when we get to the wrestling match. Now again, I say, why wrestle? Why did he have to wrestle? Because we've seen Jacob and his wisdom, splitting his family in two and trying to do this and sending gifts to Esau and all these things. God didn't tell him to do any of that stuff. He's trying to figure it out himself. I wonder if we've got some parents in here trying to figure it out themselves of raising their family. Yeah. Well, if I do this, I'll just stick them in the Christian school for a little bit. Or I'll do that and I'll do this and I can figure out all this stuff over here. When you're raising kids, you can't do it without the Lord. I don't care what you figure out. I think it's a good thing to put them in a Christian school. I think it's a great thing to have them in church and in Sunday school. I think it's a great thing to have family time where you're praying together. I believe all those things are right. But you try to do that in your own power and you're going to fail. Go fail. Why the wrestling match? I think the Lord was teaching Jacob something. I believe he was teaching him something. Doesn't God tell us not to lean unto our own understanding? Amen. We just sang the song, leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms, right? We just sang that. Notice again, verse 10, he says, look what he says, I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant, for with whose staff? My staff, he says, I passed over this Jordan. Yeah, I did it. I brought myself to this point. And God's saying, you're not getting it, buddy. You're not getting it. Why do you think the wrestling match went all night? Why do you think the man here said, let me go? And Jacob said, yeah, but you haven't blessed me yet. He's saying, I'm done wrestling. We've been doing this all night. And you're not getting it. You're not getting it. He said, I'm not going to let you go. I'm not going to let you go. I need a blessing from God. I need something. Ever been there? You see somebody having revival and say, maybe someday I'll have revival. I don't know about all that. When is the last time you had a night like this where you wouldn't let go of God? You wouldn't let him go until you saw something, until the Lord showed you something, blessed you with something. Just talking to somebody about that recently and said, you need a Jacob's wrestling match. It's what you need. When's the last time you had that with the Lord? Now, there's three things that God allows to happen to Jacob here. God does it to Jacob. There's three things that happen here, and I believe this will be a help to us as we learn really this process here of what took place. I want you to see that Jacob here in this chapter, he's broken, He's blessed, and then he's branded. Let me say that again. He's broken, he's blessed, and he's branded. Watch this now. Look at this. If you would, leave your finger here because we're going to come back to this point. But would you go in the back of the Old Testament to the first minor prophet that we call Hosea? Hosea. Would you go to Hosea for a moment, please? God gives us a little bit of insight through one of these prophets here, Hosea. He gives us some insight about what's going on here. Go with me, please, Hosea. I'd give you the page number, but I don't think that'll help. First minor prophet comes after Daniel. And look, if you would, in chapter 12. Look at Hosea chapter 12. Would you look at there, please? Hosea begins talking about Jacob here, and he gives us a little bit of insight. Look at Hosea chapter 12. Are you there? Did you find it? Amen. Amen. All right. Look at verse 2, please. Look at verse 2. Hosea 12, 2. The Lord hath also a controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways. According to his doings will he recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. That's the heel catcher. That's the supplanter. That's how he got his name. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Don't you find it interesting that God just put that phrase right in there? With his strength. With his strength is how he had power with God. Now, our own strength is going to fail. If I get up here and I try to preach in my own strength, it's going to flop and it's going to fail. Now, I'm doing some good things. I'm doing some right things. I'm doing what God has asked me to do. But if I do it in my strength, it ain't going to cut it. It ain't going to cut it. And by his strength, he had power with God. Look at verse 4. Yea, he had power over the angel. That's where God shows us it's an angel right there. And prevailed. He wept and made supplication. Now I want you to think about those words for a moment. He wept and made supplication. What does that mean? What does that mean? Jacob is not just wrestling. He's not just going at it. Okay? I was teasing a little bit about Tom Parashuk wrestling somebody. But you know, two men are going at it and they're struggling and they're back and forth. They're a little worked up and all that. That's not what's going on here. He's weeping and making supplication. Didn't we read this morning in Psalm 34 how God is nigh unto them of a broken heart, of a contrite spirit? Jacob is crying out to God saying, I need you. I'm about to face my brother, and he's going to kill me. I'm afraid, and Lord, I can't do this in my own strength. I need you. Making supplication. What does that word mean? Supplication means to pray humbly, to entreat or petition humbly. Now watch this now. God resisteth who? The proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah. You know why a lot of us aren't getting prayers answered? And why we're not really hearing from the Lord? It's because we're coming at this thing in pride. Yeah, I got it. I know. Yeah, I'll just go to the men's prayer meeting and I'll just take care of it right there. But it'll be, you know, it'll all work out. Humility. God says be clothed with humility. Get humble. Get broken before God. And that's what's going on here. Jacob was broken. He was weeping. He was praying humbly. He was begging God for his presence and his power. Look back, please, if you would, in Genesis 32. Look at what the Bible says in verse 26. We're in Genesis 32. Look at verse 26. It says, and he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Wait a minute. You remember when Jesus was at that well? He was resting at the well and that lady came. You know what he said to her? He said, go call thy husband. You know why he said that? Because he wanted her to get to a point that she understood she's a sinner. The Bible says that Jesus said out to her, he says, yeah, you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. He had to bring her to a point where she understood her sin. And that's what's happening here with Jacob. Tell me your name. You want to know why you're not getting anywhere? Because you haven't faced your past. Jacob, you're a sinner. And you've done this in your own strength. Tell me your name. Well, my name's Jacob. And Jacob automatically meant heel catcher. That's a Jewish way of saying twister, arm twister. I'm a trickster. I'm a cheat. I'm a supplanter. I'm an arm twister. That's my past. Yeah, I know what I did to my brother. I know what I did to my daddy. I know what I did over here and over there. I know what I did to Laban up there and trying to get my animals over here versus his and all of those things that he did. That was his life. That was his greedy, fleshly life. And God says, tell me your name. Oh, yeah, Lord. My name's Jacob. Yeah. I got it, Lord. You know my sin, and you've seen me. I'm a heel catcher. I'm a supplanter. I've been a cheater. And God's trying to root out that sin in Jacob's life. He's letting him wrestle, understanding that his own power is not good enough. And then he gets to a point and says, you haven't even dealt with the sin in your life yet. Why aren't we having revival? Because we're hanging on to the past and we're hanging on to sin that we haven't dealt with yet.
Amen.
Jacob's sanctification. Sanctification, to be set apart, to make holy. And practically in his daily life, he had not come to that point yet. And God's saying, let's examine this. His name brought back the memory of all his carnal nature. And God says, tell me your name. It broke him. That is sanctification. Secondly, first he had to be broken. Secondly, he could be blessed. He was looking for that. Look at verse 28, would you please? Look at verse 28. We'll go a little faster at this point. He said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. God said, okay, all right, so that's your past. So that's your sin. Doesn't the Bible say, I'll remove your sins as far as east is from west. He'll bury them in the bottom of the sea, in the depths of the sea. He says that in the scriptures. He says, so your name's been Jacob, but he said, you'll be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Israel means a prince with God. He says, you see here that it's not in your own strength. We know you're a sinner. We know your past. But let's change it. Let's change it. You recognize it. You've confessed it. Now let's change it. What do we have to do when we're helping somebody with an addiction or a struggle or some sin? We got to get them to acknowledge their sin. Oftentimes you're dealing with somebody with alcohol. And I'm not a drunk. Oh, you're not? Look at these things. You've got to get them to acknowledge it. Sometimes they got to hit rock bottom before they really understand, and that's what's going on with Jacob here. I can't get anywhere. I'm about to die at my brother's hand, and God won't answer me. He won't bless me. Tell me your name. He's got to get broken. And after he was broken, a broken man can then be blessed. A broken man can then be blessed. He blesses him here. Look at the text. But Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him, he said, tell me, I pray thee, what is thy name? And he said, wherefore is that thou dost ask after my name? He says, I don't have anything to get right. I'm God. I never changed. I never left. And it says he blessed him there. He blessed him there. A broken man by God, a man broken by God can be blessed by God. Why aren't you receiving the blessing? It's because you haven't been broken yet. You haven't been broken yet. Think about a horse. Some of you have understandings of horses and how all that works. Right? We went through Shinkatig this summer and thinking about the ponies and how they rally them up of Assateague and they bring them over and they sell them off. A horse, Mrs. Jones, you know about all this. Okay? A horse has to be broken first. The man, the master, wants to put him in a stable, wants to bless him, give him a warm place to stay, feed him, give him all that he needs, and wants to bless him and have the name of that house and all of that, but he's got to be broken first. If he's broken, then he can be blessed. Then he can be blessed. Finally, he was Brandon. Look at this. Look at verse 31, would you please? Look at verse 31. And as he passed over Peniel, the sun rose upon him, and what's it say? He halted upon his thigh. Did you notice here that God does not put his hip back in the joint? He doesn't fix the problem. You understand there? He leaves him marked so that he will remember every time he's trying to walk that time he met with God. Yeah. You remember Abraham? Abraham's thing, God said, I want you to be circumcised, and you circumcise your house. You understand that? There was a reason that came about. It was a reason because it was after Abraham's sin that God told him to do that. Abraham left, he did what he shouldn't have done. He took Hagar and he had his child with Hagar, and for a while they weren't talking. It had been some years. And the Lord shows up and said, Abraham, let's deal with this. Let's get this right. And he said, now the covenant is going to be on the outside. And said, you will remember that we have a covenant together. Many of you, I know that this old bent finger of mine catches your attention. I know it does sometimes. It doesn't bother me, and it's okay if you want to talk about it, okay? It's just bent. I can't get it anymore. I can't make it straight. Okay? You know what that is for me? That's a memory. That's a memory. Now, the physical, practical side of it was, I was just over the river in Maryland there along Keedysville, where Antietam Battlefield right up there, and I was riding my Fuller in the woods, and it was a pretty good holler down there. There was a big steep incline there, and I'm riding along in the woods. I get to a tree laying down, Brother Randy. I get to this big old massive tree laying down in my way. So what did I do? I feathered the clutch. I went up over the tree. But because I was on this embankment, I didn't come down on two wheels on the back and then four wheels. I didn't do that. I came down on one. I came down like this and I started teetering. And I said, ooh, this ain't good. And I went over. And I'm going down this steep hill. And the bikes follow me. The four-wheelers follow me. And somewhere along the ways, this got in the middle of a bike and a tree. The four-wheeler, rather. Now, that's practically what took place. But it reminds me of a time when I was living for myself. God was bringing little things along the way to remind me that He was still there. And that I was saved, but I was doing my own thing. And God never straightened that out. He never fixed it. Because it's a memory today of when I was trying to live life for myself. Amen. Yeah. Sometimes God brands us. Sometimes He gives us some things to help us to remember. You know, after God, after He met with the Lord, after He got broken, after He got blessed, after He got branded, He wasn't afraid anymore to go face Esau. He gets up the next day, he crosses, he doesn't get up, I don't think he ever went to sleep. The sun rose up, he goes over that brook there, that ford, and he goes on to meet Esau. And he's not all worried about how all this is going to play out. He had made half of his family to go first, and then another bit to go, and then he would come, and all these things, and he had figured all that. But he said, I now have the power of God, because God broke me last night. And then he blessed me. And that's what I was looking for. And I have proof, physical proof. I don't know how he walked, but he couldn't walk very well with a hip out of joint. And for the rest of his life, he would halt upon that thigh. And he said, here's the proof that God touched me. Here's the proof. So I ask you today, have you been broken? What are you talking about, Pastor John? I'm talking about literal crying your eyes before God, asking for forgiveness of your sin that you know is in your life. Where God said, sometimes, folks, sometimes we have to take, initiate, draw nigh unto God, and He shall draw nigh unto you. You know what the rest of that verse is? Cleanse your heart, your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. That verse doesn't just end with, well, I get close to God, He gets close to me. No, there's some sin confession and some cleansing that has to take place in that. That's what the verse says. We always quote the first half because that's the easy part. But the second half, yeah, cleansing. Let's get clean. We got to get broken. Maybe some of you have had times in your life where you just take a pad of paper and a pen and you get in somewhere all alone. So I need God. I need to hear from the Lord. Lord, I'm going to stay here, and I want you to bring to my mind right now. I want you to bring to my mind, please, right now, what it is in my life that I need to make right with you. I'm going to start writing them down. For some of us, that list would be long. For others, it'd be one big thing that we're still holding on to. It's time to get broken before God. If you want sanctification and you want God's blessing and you want to see the power of God in your life, we got some Sunday school teachers in here, and you go through the motions, but you don't really see much going on in your class, and you don't see change, and you're not seeing people get saved. We got some soul winners in here, and it's been so long since you've seen anybody get saved, and we've got bus workers and bus drivers and everybody in here, and you're trying to do some things for God, but you're just not seeing anything. You're not seeing that blessing. Let's meet with God and get broken. Get some cleansing. Quit trying to do it in our own way, in our own strength. Let's meet with God. Have you been broken? I'm talking relinquishing all control to God. Saying, Lord, here I am. Do with me as you wish. Self-denial. There's some in here, listen, the truth is, some in here, some of us, dealing with that same sin, and we always come back to it. We come to an altar, we ask God for forgiveness, we ask for help, and we get up and we go and do the same thing that very week. Yes, it happens, doesn't it? It happens. John R. Rice said this. I was listening to a message by him. He said, if you want to conquer sin in your life, then deal with it openly. Getting broken. Why not go to somebody, one of these people on the altar up here, one of these assistant pastors or a deacon or a friend, and say, I've got an issue and I need to pray with you. Would you help me? Deal with it openly. You know when a drunk can get help? When he says, I'm a drunk and I know it and I need help. Deal with it openly. It'd be okay if we had some folks come up here today and just dealing with confessing of sin and said before the church, you know what? I've been dealing with this. Pray for me. Why? Because it's a whole lot harder to return to it when everybody knows about it. If you want to conquer sin in your life, deal with it openly. Get broken before God. So then you can get blessed by God. Maybe even branded as a reminder. Now, what I preached on today, this sanctification that God gave me now, Jacob's sanctification, that won't save you. That comes after salvation. And I say again, are you saved? But I ask the Christians in here, are you sanctified? Are you set apart as sacred, made holy before the Lord? Father God, help us tonight, this morning, please. Lord Jesus, thank you for this message. Lord, a bit different from last week, and yet very much needed. And you brought this about this morning. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your presence this morning. Thank you for a man that knew how to get a hold of you. Thank you for a man that was not afraid to be broken I pray that some of us would take knowledge of this. Help us, please. Maybe some folks in here need to get a hold of God. They're not hearing the answers. They're not getting any help. Lord, they need to get broken. Confess some sin. Get some help from someone else. Confess it to them. Lord, and I pray that you'd help us as we come to you this morning, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Jessica's going to go ahead and start.